Good evening, everyone. You know, it is a good evening, but there's rather a sad note to it as far as my heart's concerned, it being the last meeting. I have enjoyed this thoroughly. It's been wonderful to me. The kind hospitality, the Christian fellowship has been wonderful. Something that we have never experienced it like it before. It's been so grand. And then again, for down in the lounge, the wonderful meals and the way that we've been looked after, the lovely cozy corner to lay our head down and rest. Truly, from the depths of our heart, we would say thank you for all the blessings the Lord has enabled you to shower upon us who are so unworthy. And so we praise the Lord for the privilege of being here. I recall when our brother asked me if I would come to the Park of the Palms for this weekend, around about a month and a half, nearly 2 months ago. And you know, I had a rather feeling in my heart. Now then, this is the first conference that I've ever been at. This is the first time I've ever taken a series of meetings. How will I get along? But praise the Lord, because you've been praying, I believe the Lord has given us a good time with Himself. And so we're so grateful to Him that He's ministered to us, that we might be able to minister to you, and that we might rejoice together in the goodness of our God. This evening, then, shall we open our Bibles at Exodus chapter 19. Another little thought that I've been asked to come here, Brother Jim Boswell was here at that time, the marvelous man of God. And, you know, I kind of looked at Jim Boswell out of the corner of my eye, you know, just to see what Jim was thinking about as well. And then when I said yes to our brother that I would come here, afterwards when we were talking alone, he says, Vicky, he says, I think it will do you good. It has done me good. Praise the Lord for that. The same thing, I'm going to try and bring a little message to you about Lot's wife. We're told in the scriptures to remember Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19. Shall we just bow our head in a wee word of prayer? Father, we commit ourselves absolutely to Thee this evening. Without Thee, we can do nothing. We just pray the Holy Spirit to calm us in Thy holy presence. Take over, we pray. Minister to our hearts. Supply that need that's so necessary at the moment. That we would give Thee the praise and the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did eat, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man, let them upbraid you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, and therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But when the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves of the door. When the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, to say, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels ascended, and Lot said, the angels hastened, and Lot saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord, being merciful unto them, brought them out forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And over in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities of all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities and the plain, that God remembered Abram, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. In previous chapters, we find Abraham and Lot standing, as it were, to my mind, out on a little knoll, up back of the tent. And there they're discussing their flocks, their herdsmen, who had been striving one with the other because there was not enough room in the country for their herds to eat. And they become so discontented, and there on that little knoll back there, as Lot presented his case to his old uncle. His old uncle looked at him tenderly and kindly, and he said, Lot, he said, let us not quarrel, we be brethren. And there he said, lift up your eyes, look the country over, the north, south, and east, and west. He said, you take your pick, whatever way you want to go, I will go the opposite direction. And there is Lot, as he looked over the land, you recall how he looked over the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he started down with his family and his herds away from Abram to settle by Sodom and Gomorrah. But God had placed a curse upon those cities. They were the cities of the curse. And still that Lot, who we find in 1 Peter, we read that just Lot. Lot was a just man. He was a man that knew God. He had seen God move in the life of his uncle Abram. He had come out of Ur of the Chaldees. And now they stand in the land of Canaan at the parting place between the two. And we find him, he had got his eyes on the well-watered plains of the Jordan, his eyes off God, and he went down, and he went down, and he went down. And we find that eventually Lot himself finds himself inside the gate, and there he becomes the governor of the city, and his wife, she becomes the first lady, and a lady who plants her roots deeply in the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. As we look at this that we have here, the Sodom and Gomorrah, from down in there these cities sprang from those sinful men who were born to Lot and his daughters. This sinful nation that sprang up, we find them spreading them over the land. And the whole city had become corrupt. And you know, my friend, this evening, that from the very beginning of time, when our first parents fell in the garden, that corrupt thing called sin has been surging through the veins of men and women, dragging them down to lost eternity, gnawing at the very vitals of the being of man, and drawing him away from God, and going to pay his wages in the pit, in the lake of fire forever and forever. Because my Bible tells me the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We take in Psalm 51, we read this, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you happen to be here this evening without Christ, you've never experienced the love of God surging through your life. You've never known what it is to take, to wend your way to Calvary by simple faith and bow the knee before Him and behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world and there confess to Him that, "Lord, I have sinned. I need a Savior. You shed your blood for me." And tonight, I accept Christ as my own personal Savior. That is why the glorious gospel is going forth this day. Because God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation free at highest cost. He offers free to all. And no matter where you are, no matter what your religious background may be, Christ is the answer. If you don't know Him as your own personal Savior, you may know Him tonight through simple faith in absolute trust in the finished work of Calvary. Now then, as we look at this woman, Mrs. Lot, she's had a checkered career. We notice, first of all, that she was a wife of a just man. As I mentioned before, there in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read the just Lot, it said, that he vexed his soul every day down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Even though he vexed his soul, he did absolutely nothing about it. Nothing about it. Even though they said that his soul was righteous, he knew God. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, it is very possible for a man and a woman to slip away, as it were, from walking with God, from talking with God, and enjoying His precious Word day by day. It's possible to stop reading. It's possible to stop praying and get away from God and allow themselves to be found in the company of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Very possible. And even vexing your soul because you're down there listening to the filthy stories and even taking part of them. It's very possible. You know, Christ is your own personal Savior. Your life should be of a higher sort. Your life should be governed by the eternal God. Yes, Mrs. Locke, she was the wife of a just man. She had wonderful advantages there in the tent of her uncle as they traversed down through the country. He was, as we look at Abram's life, she saw him, his life being ordered by the Lord, being directed and being tested by God every step of the way. She saw she had handled the good things of God in that home of Abram. She knew what it was that to see one being directed by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Makes me think of the spies as the children of Israel come to Kadesh Barnea, and there they stood at the promised land before them that God had told them back in Egypt. He said, "I'll bring you out that I might bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey." The land is rich, they said. And when they come to the border, they stop, they bring a halt. God says, go forth, the land is yours. They said, oh no, not just now. Let us go in and spy out the land to see if it happens to be just so, the way God has said it would be. And there for 40 days, we find those men traversing that country, that promised land. And you recall on their return, how that there we find two men carrying a stalk of grapes between them. We find others coming with their aprons filled with the pomegranate and with the grapes and with the figs in their aprons and in their laps. The proof that the land was flowing with milk and honey. And as they show them to the people, it's read in my Bible, they despise the land. They despise the land. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, there are men and women who are despising the goodness of God. They're despising the work of God's Son on the cross. They're turning their back upon Him. They're trembling the precious blood underfoot as though it was an unholy thing. Oh, my friend, God is going to bring you into account someday. You're going to have to stand before Him and give an account. And that account will be, what did you do with my Son? The blood was shed for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you've had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. Maybe you know what it is to bow at mother's knee and listen to her prayer, and the father's as well. But still you've grown up now. You've got older. You're away from home. Still don't know the Lord. Oh, listen, dear one. Allow the Spirit of God to knock on your heart's door. And out of sympathy and love to you, say, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. He, being often reproved, hardened of His neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And then again, secondly, about Mrs. Watt. She was faithfully warned that the land of where she was living down in Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be burned up with brimstone by the angry of an almighty God. She was faithfully warned of impending doom. Faithfully warned. The angel of the Lord came and warned her that night. And do you know, ladies and gentlemen, possibly you've been coming to this chapel week after week, week after week, enjoying the precious Word of God during the wintertime, day after day, and from this very pulpit, the trumpet has been sounding, the trumpet of the Word of the living God, and you today are stumbling over mountains, as it were, of gospel preaching and the preaching of the Word. You're stumbling at it. And even as they stand, and they blow the trumpet and say, turn ye, for why will you die? Let me take your mind back to Isaiah for a moment, will you? And there as we walk along in the courtyard, and there on the wall we see a man walking along. We find down in the courtyard a man called out. He says, what of the night? What of the night? And the watchman, as he walked around the wall, he called down. He said, the day cometh, and also the night. The day cometh, and also the night. Ladies and gentlemen, as you've listened to the word of the living God going from this platform from the mouths of God's faithful servants, and present to you, the day cometh, and also the night. The day of God's grace is most nigh run its course. The bright and morning star is about to appear Jesus Christ, to take His bride home. And then the night of this old world and the devil, with all his satanic power, will come in and reign supreme. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, if you're not ready, I would beg of you, this evening before the service is over that you trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Because he that hath sworn in the day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. God has his man that's going to sit on the throne of judgment in that coming day. And he's going to mete out judgment that will be peculiar to your case. And will it be in that coming day that at the great right throne as you stand before him, you're going to hear those awful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Even though my hands had formed you, even though I breathed in your nostrils the breath of life, but you've turned from me. You wouldn't have me now. And you stand before me, I have to say, depart from me. I never knew you." And yet with all the love of his heart, as he stands there before you, his heart breaking, because all down these years he's presenting his love to you in many, in many ways. Sodom and Gomorrah was about to be destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah, the handwriting was on the wall. Sodom and Gomorrah were weighed in the balances and they were found wanting. Found wanting. It makes me think of a couple of men who had bought a stretch of timberland. They were going to cut it down for lumber. And as they walked through this timberland, But one of the men had an axe in his hand, and he was blazing trees as he walked through the bush. And as he blazed one of the trees, he put his hand in the tree and he looked up, and that's a great tall tree. And there, way up in the top branches, he saw waving in the breeze, was a little nest, a little bird's nest, swinging away in the tree. And the man was heard to say this, "Poor little bird, you've built your nest in a doomed tree. Poor little bird, you've built your nest in a doomed tree." Possibly there's someone here tonight. You've built your nest in a doomed tree. A tree that's going to be uprooted. A tree that's going to be chopped down. A tree that's going to be burned. The whole world is lost in the darkness of sin, but praise God, Jesus Christ brought light. Oh, my friend tonight, you've been building your tree, you've been building your home, all right. Maybe you've been building it on a religious background of some sort, I haven't any idea. But listen, unless you're building it in the tree of faith, upon the ground of salvation, you're building it in a doomed tree. If you're not building upon Jesus Christ, if you don't know him as your Savior, the tree is doomed, my friend. The tree is doomed. Then again, we notice that Mrs. Lot, she was visited by an angel. Visited by an angel. I remember one day in the shop where I was working, sitting on the corner of the table, of a young girl that was working in the decorating room. And while she was decorating there, I was sitting on the corner of the table with one eye on the work that she was doing, and also having a little chat with her about the Word of God and the things of the Lord. Tears started to run down her cheeks, and she laid down her palette knife and her cake on the other side, and she came over to where I was standing, and she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, "Mr. Harrington," she said, "I don't want to go down there. I don't want to go down there." We presented the claims of Christ to her. Her life had been terrible. Her life had been miserable. She had sold her life to the world. The Spirit of God was striving in her heart, and her eyes were just bulging and tree, and tears were flowing. "Mr. Herring, I don't want to have to go down there." And I tried to tell her, "You don't have to. Just trust Christ as your Savior. He's a burden bearer. He's the one who will cleanse your life and make you anew." But you would not. She would not. She was visited by an angel. The angel came and said, "Escape for thy life. Stay not thou in all the plain. Get out," she said. "Judgment is about to fall. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah, of where you've lived, is about to be destroyed. And ladies and gentlemen, the world that you and I live in today, God said He's going to burn it up with fervent heat. And He said the heavens are going to be rolled up as a scroll. There'll be no place for them to stand. And there at the great white throne shall the multitudes of men and women stand in space before God and receive that awful sentence, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Mrs. Lot, she had a praying uncle. Oh, thank God for those who take time to pray. Many a soul can testify today that they're saved because their mother prayed, or because their father prayed, or their uncle prayed, because someone prayed. Thank God for those that pray. For a mother to take time to spend with her children each day and give them a little bit of God's precious word and point them the way to Calvary. And then again, Mrs. Lot, she knew the way. She wasn't ignorant to the fact. Because the angel said to her, "Escape for thy life. Escape to the mountains, the place of safety. Flee." Someone said to me the other day, if you preach like that, doesn't that put fear in people? Do you think people will come to Christ because of fear? I would love to speak with all the love of my heart. Even though I may raise my voice and speak fear with it. I believe this with all my heart. And I just feel, my friend, that if it was me standing there, how my heart would rebuild. And I plead with you tonight with all my heart, with all my love, and even put fear behind for you to flee to the cross of Jesus Christ tonight for refuge in Him. She knew the way. She knew the way. A little hymn that we often sing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Oh, my friend and I, the storm is about to break. Yes, it is. Are you hid in the cleft of the rock? You know what it was like, top lady, as he stood there, the storm broke against those great rocks, to know that he was sheltered in the rock of ages. He said, "Look on me and be saved, all the end of the earth, for I am gone, and there is none else." No other salvation. You recall when the Apostle Paul, as he stood before Felix, and there he reasoned with him about righteousness and about judgment to come. And when he said to Paul that day, you recall when he said, he said, "Paul, one of the more convenient things I'm going to call for you. What you said is absolutely true, I believe. But I'll talk to you some other time." But we never hear of Felix ever having a moment to sit down with the Apostle Paul and speak about the glorious truth of salvation again. Never. Agrippa. Paul, as he stood before him another time, King Agrippa, and he told the King Agrippa, he said to him, he said, "Thou believest." He said, "I know that you believe." And there Agrippa, as he answered the Paul, he says, "Apostle Paul," he says, "almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost cannot avail. Almost but to fail. Almost lost." Oh, my friend and I, with you, is it almost? This evening, as you stand before the cross for a few moments, as you bow your head before Him, listen. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to your heart. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What would the profit of man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mrs. Lot, she presumed on God's mercy. She presumed on God's mercy. God allowed them to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and live there for that number of years. He allowed them to get a beautiful home and get just exactly what she wanted to get. She was so satisfied with her surroundings. But she presumed upon God and she thought, now what the angels have said, I believe it's quite true, but I don't think it's going to happen just yet. Not just yet. Take your mind back to Noah's Ark. When God told Noah to build him an ark for the saving of his house, and there Noah for 120 years, he built on that ark, out on dry land. And there for the last 7 days, God called him in. And there as he stood in the doorway, he pleaded with the people as they went by to come on in, take refuge. The flood was coming. And they called the Lord to Noah and said, Noah, you're crazy, you silly old fool. We've never had rain for years. What do you want to go in there for? But at the end of 7 days, God shut the door. The rains came down. The floods came up. And not long until that boat started to swim, started to float. The people then, as they had to wade or to swim to get near to the ark, they were knocking on the door of that ark and they were saying, Noah, let me in now. I believe every word you've been preaching the last 120 years. I believe it now. It's all true. Still small voice from inside came. God has shut the door. Mrs. Locke presumed. She presumed on God's mercy. You think God's going to work wait overtime for you? God has a schedule. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And God will set up that judgment by the moment that it comes along. He's not going to say, I'll give you the next 5 minutes. I'll give you another day to get ready. No, sir. God has his timetable, and he will carry it out to the letter. The people in that day will call to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from him with whom they have to do. Today is the day of God's mercy. Today is the day of God's love. Flee to Calvary. Mrs. Lot was told not to look back. And as they start up the hill, the yearning of the heart was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. My friends back there. My home back there. My position back there. Yes, there's a lot to draw back. And as she thought upon them, not so much on the escape and the place of safety, she thought about these, and it said that she was behind Lot and she turned around just to take a little peek, to see if God was really carrying out his judgment. And it said that she turned into a pillar of salt. And there at the end of the Dead Sea, in the eastern end of the Dead Sea, we see a mountain of salt. And in the center of that mountain, we're told, the salt is absolutely pure. And it's called Mrs. Lot. Procrastination is a thief of time. It'll steal your soul. And salvation that's being offered today by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, she looked behind. She looked behind. Yes, with the things back here are more important than it was to fleeing to the mountains for deliverance. More important. It makes me think of the blacksmith that prided himself in making chains. And he used to make chains for the prison that was up behind his place up on the hill that used to bind the prisoners. He said, any chain that I happen to make, No one will ever break. No one will ever be free. And day after day he turned up chains, both for the farmers and for the prison. But one day something happened. He committed a misdemeanor. And there we find the blacksmith himself back up on the hill, sitting in one of the cells with chains around his arms and around his legs. And he thought to himself, my, this is going to be easy. This is a cinch for me because there isn't a chain that I can't break. Not one. And there he sat in the prison and he started to look the chains over. He pulled them over link by link, looking for that weakest link in the chain. And as he pulled them over, one of those links had turned over on its side. And there on that other side of the link, he noticed his number, and he noticed his name, and from the depth of his being he cried, alas, alas, I find myself bound with the chains that I have made. Bound with the chains that I have made. And there's men and women, boys and girls today, bound with sins that their own hands have made. They procrastinated on God's time and God's love and God's Son. They find themselves bound with a chain. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that I might loose the captive, that I might bring them out of prison, that I might give them life. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Yes, she looked back. She turned a pillar saw, and then bound the chains I have made myself. And then we notice, it said that God remembered Abram. God remembered Abram. You recall a few chapters earlier, God was speaking to Abram, and there Abram was pleading for the souls of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how he pleaded. He said, there are 50, is it be 40, 30, 20, 10. I'll spare the city. But the only ones that were in that were spared and that came out of that city that day was Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of the overthrow. But God remembered Abram, the praying man, and there as he stood on the hill the following morning, he looked over the country and he sees the country burning as though it was a furnace and the smoke sending up as from the depths of the abyss. The depths of the abyss. Oh, my friend, there is heaven and hell to make a choice. Heaven for those who would trust Christ as their own personal Savior. There's a hell for those that reject Him and turn Him down and say you won't have Him. Listen tonight. Mrs. Lot was faithfully warned. Yes, she was. Faithfully warned. But Mrs. Lot procrastinated on God's good mercies and not upon His time. She despised, as it were, the goodness of God. And she perished in the overthrow. Oh, my friend tonight, you can't afford to. God loves you with all His heart. The Lord Jesus Christ died. And tonight, I beg of you to bow your heart and your head in His presence. Say, Lord, I'm only a sinner. I thank You that You shed Your blood for me. Tonight I accept You as my own personal Savior. And when you do that, He will come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman will open the door, I will come in. Is He knocking at your heart's door? He's knocked many times before. Many times. This may be the last time. Will you let Him in? In the quietest of the meeting, come in, Lord Jesus. Save me for Christ's sake. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Will you do that? Shall we bow our head? Our Father, as we commit this closing service to Thee this evening, we bless and praise You for the goodness of God. We thank You for Thy marvelous, wonderful love displayed at Calvary.
And no wonder our Father and thy word thou art able to say, come unto me, all you that labor, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, we commit each one to thee. And thou hast said in thy word, behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Blessed Lord, we thank thee that thou didst lay down thy life, thou didst bear the pangs of sin that men might go free. And tonight salvation is offered to every individual who will accept Christ as their Savior. Lord, honor thy word and honor thyself tonight. Thou hast said thou would prosper thy word whereunto thou hast sent it. We commit it to thee. And each dear one we thank thee so much for them and for their kindness to us this past week. We do give thee thanks and manifest thyself to each individual we pray in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ.